I never believed in life after death. As a neurosurgeon trained at Duke and Harvard with 15 years of practice, I knew consciousness was produced by the brain. When the brain dies, we die. Then, in 2008, bacterial meningitis attacked my brain. My neocortex, the part responsible for thought, memory, language, and everything that makes us human, completely shut down for 7 days. Medically speaking, I should have either died or emerged as a vegetable. Instead, I experienced something so profound it transformed me from skeptical scientist to someone with an urgent message about consciousness. What makes my case unique isn't just the experience itself, but the medical impossibility of it. E. coli meningitis spontaneously appearing in an adult without prior neurosurgery happens to fewer than 1 in 10 million people annually. My spinal cord glucose plummeted to 1, normal is 80, and my Glasgow coma scale hit 815. The medical team told my family to prepare for my death. My brain wasn't just impaired, the part necessary for consciousness was offline, documented by multiple neurological exams and lab tests. Yet here I am, not only recovered, but transformed. How is this possible? My first awareness was existing in the realm of the earthworm's eye view, a primitive consciousness without memory or identity. I was submerged in dark mud, yet somehow perceiving through it, like peering through viscous gelatin extending infinitely. No language or logic, just primordial awareness in a timeless void. Around me, root-like structures glowed with reddish bioluminescence. The initially simple immersion grew uncomfortable as the mud itself seemed to develop awareness of me. Grotesque faces bubbled from the muck with mechanical pounding and terrifying chants, accompanied by the raw smell of earthy decay. Suddenly, a rotating object appeared, radiating white-gold light filaments and a beautiful melody that grew louder as pure white light descended, silencing the monotonous pounding. An opening formed at the center of this spinning light. As I understood this, I began moving upward rapidly, passing through with a whoosh into a new world, brilliant, vibrant, and ecstatic. I felt like I was being born. Below stretched a countryside that was earth-like yet different, green, lush, and strangely familiar. I flew over trees, fields, and people singing. This wasn't a hallucination, but completely real, more real than anything I'd experienced before. A beautiful girl with deep blue eyes flew beside me on butterfly wings, communicating 3 messages without words. You are loved and cherished, forever. You have nothing to fear. There is nothing you can do wrong. Deeper in this realm, I found myself among enormous pink-white clouds against a deep blue-black sky. Higher still, transparent beings arced across the heavens, not birds or angels, but more advanced entities. A glorious chant descended from above. Seeing and hearing weren't separate. I could hear visual beauty and see sound. Everything remained distinct, yet interconnected. Then I entered an immense void, pitch black, yet luminous with light from a brilliant orb. I sensed God with no distance between us. Through this orb, I learned of countless universes centered in love, with evil present only in trace amounts necessary for free will. After countless journeys between realms, I suddenly found heaven's gates closed to me. The sadness I felt was profound. Emotions there exist both inside and outside simultaneously, deeper and more spacious than earthly feelings. Countless beings surrounded me in arcs stretching into the distance, praying for me. I recognized 2 faces I later identified as our pastor Michael Sullivan and his wife Paige. Their prayers energized me, instilling a strange confidence despite my sorrow. As I descended, human faces emerged from the darkness. I recognized 6, my wife Holly, her sister Peggy, my doctor Scott Wade, our friend Sylvia, and Susan Wrenches, an intuitive who had attempted contact during my coma. My 10-year-old son Bond's face drew me with special power, pleading for my return. after 7 days in coma, something remarkable happened. As Bond sobbed at my bedside, rubbing my shoulders and saying, "You're gonna be okay, Daddy," my eyes suddenly opened. I began looking around like a newborn, seeing the world for the first time. My breathing tube was removed, and I spoke my first words in a week. "Thank you." When my mother and sister arrived, I reassured them, "All is well, don't worry." For days, I experienced ICU psychosis, delusions, and paranoia. Though I recognized family, I had no memory of my human life before coma. Only the Earthworm's Eye View, Gateway, and Heavenly Core. Gradually, my earthly identity returned. My personality emerged through the fog, humor, social graces, and mischievous streak. Day by day, language, memories, and recognition returned. My medical recovery defies explanation. Bacterial meningitis with my severity has a mortality rate approaching 100%, with few survivors requiring lifelong care. Yet, I returned to full cognitive function. Remarkably, the faces I saw correlated with people physically present at my bedside during those final hours before recovery, suggesting a connection between physical proximity and spiritual awareness beyond conventional understanding of consciousness. One aspect of NDEs troubled me. I hadn't remembered my earthly identity in the spiritual realm, nor met deceased people I'd known, not even my father, who had died 4 years earlier. Instead, my companion had been the girl on the butterfly wing, beautiful but a complete stranger. Months later, while examining old family photographs at my birth sister Kathy's home, I discovered an image that stopped me cold. It was my biological sister Betsy, whom I'd never met in life, as she had died before I could connect with my birth family. I realized she was the woman who had guided me through the gateway. Without her butterfly wing and heavenly garments, I hadn't immediately recognized her, but there was no mistaking her loving smile and sparkling blue eyes. How could I have recognized someone I'd never met when my brain wasn't functioning? These questions suggest consciousness extends beyond our individual brains and bodies. What if consciousness represents our greatest scientific discovery? My journey suggests consciousness isn't merely produced by the brain, but forms the foundation of physical reality itself. Perhaps the brain functions more as a receiver than a generator of consciousness, an idea William James proposed that quantum physics has supported since the 1920s. When Heisenberg discovered that observers cannot be separated from what they observe at the subatomic level, he revealed consciousness's fundamental role in reality. After recovery, I examined every scientific explanation for my experience. My visions were too sophisticated for primitive brainstem functions, and recall was impossible without a functioning neocortex. Most striking are the similarities between my experience and mystical accounts across cultures and throughout history. From the Tibetan Book of the Dead to Christian mystics, these cross-cultural parallels suggest glimpses of a universal reality rather than cultural constructs. The unconditional love I experienced remains my most important discovery. My case challenges materialist dismissals of consciousness as existence's central mystery.